How you doing, everybody? Welcome into Sports Talk on this Wednesday, last day of fall. Winter solstice comes tomorrow, 10/28. So we are here to help usher you into the next season of life. Thanks so much for being along. I'm Scott Beatty, along with Scott Ritchie from the News Gazette. It's Scott and Scott. It's been a while since we've been on the airwaves together, Scott, so good to see you. How you doing?
Good. You know, just I guess I've been either at basketball, just at basketball games.
That's what you do.
That's my life.
You go to basketball games, which is not a bad life at all.
Yeah, no. I don't have a whole lot of room to complain, I don't
think. There'll be a big basketball game this Saturday coming up on the Bragging Rights game at the Scott Trade Center in St. Louis. So we will be talking about that. Missouri Tigers play-by-play voice Mike Kelly, who once was a host here on this very program back in the day, will join us to discuss that. And also Mizzou's game last night against Stephen F. Austin. They won that game by 1 point, 82-81. I watched that game, and Stephen F. Austin looked an awful lot like what Brad Underwood wants out of his Illinois team. You can see some remnants there, some positive residue, if you will. And I know the style might be different in their new head coach and, you know, doesn't run exactly the same system, but they got after it and really frustrated Mizzou, kind of relentless defense, and they almost pulled off the victory. That's a good basketball team there in Stephen F. Austin. And some of those pieces are the results of Brad Underwood. So, but Illinois basketball, of course, struggling, has dropped 5 of their last 6, and their lone win in that stretch against lowly Longwood. Illinois has got to turn some things around.
Yeah, and maybe not be their own worst enemy,
because
that has been a crippling issue in, well, most of those games. I mean, if you kind of think back to Northwestern, they were forcing turnovers in the final couple minutes, but couldn't get any shots to fall. Against Maryland, that game was won if they could only get the ball in bounds. And against New Mexico State, the game was tied, certainly winnable, and again, couldn't get the ball in bounds.
It's been a problem growing here, and it's more frustrating, I think, than just not even being competitive in the game because you're so close. Well, we will talk more about that as we go along, but the big news of the day is it's signing day for the first time ever for football, being held in December. 12 in so far for the Illini, and the headliner for the class is the latest to sign. His national letter of intent came in at 401. It's Calvin Avery, the defensive lineman out of Dallas, Texas, and Bishop Dunn. Some of the other notables, Julian Pearl, offensive lineman out of Danville, and Ruben Unajay from IMG Academy, the 300-pound offensive linemen are some of the guys that are in already. A couple of wide receivers, a couple of one tight end, and a couple of offensive linemen. About half of it, though, are defensive players so far in for the Illini. Any surprises so far, Scott?
I guess maybe the only surprises so far have been the fact that they signed a defensive back out of Florida via Canada, Sidney Brown, who came out of nowhere. I mean, that name had not been anywhere at all tied to Illinois football.
And well, they put out Twitter pictures of everybody that signs, and all of them have pictures of themselves in Illinois uniforms from when they've had a visit. This guy doesn't. So that just lends to the fact that he was real under the radar.
Yeah, I'm not sure you could get any more under the radar, but here he is. I mean, just from watching the highlight film, seems like he's got some really good speed as a defensive back. But I'll be honest and say I had never heard of him until earlier today.
Now, 12 are in so far, and of those 12, one from Illinois, the aforementioned Julian Pearl from Danville, one from California, Delano Ware, he is a defensive back, one from Texas, Calvin Avery, we talked about him. Everybody else from the state of Florida. A lot of it, Bradenton and Fort Lauderdale. And we know that Illinois has been down there a lot, obviously. And people want Illinois to be signing more from Chicago. I continue to maintain, I don't know that it is such a big deal, especially in the sport of football. You don't want to miss out on the talent that's there. But if you're getting the talent from Florida or Texas or California or Mars. I don't really care as long as they're coming here.
Yeah, I mean, it's a perception thing, and I think what maybe hurts the most is the fact that I saw like a graphic that the BTN put out, and there were 24 Big Ten signees from the state of Illinois. And if you just look at those numbers, most of them aren't going to go to Illinois. So it's a perception of you got these guys in your backyard, and they're going to all of your rivals. And Illinois lost a couple of maybe head-to-head battles for some guys with Northwestern. And I think that just maybe...
But I think it
says a little bit about where your program is.
Yeah, but I think it's just different. If you live in the Chicago area, you don't quite look at Illinois quite the same way as if you live downstate. I think if you live downstate, you see more Illinois as your school, more of an identity. But Chicago, it's a pro town. There are so many Big Ten schools within an easy drive. And I just don't know that as much that you always look to Illinois and see it as your school, your state school, and you got to go consider that first. It just doesn't happen. I think you get considered more by those recruits if you're a winning program or if you are talented enough and say, hey, I want to be a part of the turnaround that's going on right now down in Illinois. But, you know, again, if you're bringing in a lot of guys from Florida or Texas or Washington, D.C., or as Ron Zook used to do, it's fine. I think fans embrace them either way. But I agree with you, too. It would be great to get – there's so much talent in the Chicagoland area. It'd be great to get them here. But I don't know that the come-to-your-state school card is one that really attracts players.
I mean, and if I'll just be personally honest here, I don't care where the players are from.
Yeah.
But there's you know this sense where Illinois – just the state of Illinois continually produces some of just – as far as sheer numbers go, so many Division I prospects and you know guys that end up at Northwestern or Minnesota or Michigan State or Iowa, name your Big Ten team, that I mean, I think it's more of a statement on where Illinois is as a football program, which is not a good place. You know, the recruiting class ranks last in the Big Ten per the two main you know, recruiting services. So you know, when you go 2-10, I think things like this happen.
Exactly. Now, not having not yet signed, and again, players have until Friday to do so. We haven't seen MJ Rivers, the quarterback out of Texas, sign yet. Verdis Brown, undetermined yet. Of course, he's not expected to sign until Friday, and it's undetermined yet exactly where he will sign as well. So there's still some significant question marks out there about what's coming in for Lovie Smith's class.
Yeah, well, as far as today goes, MJ Rivers and Keevan Myers, who's teammates with Calvin Avery at Bishop Dunn in Dallas, they're both expected to sign today. Jordan Slaughter, an offensive lineman from Althoff, is said he's going to sign on Friday. You mentioned you know, Verdis Brown, one-time Florida State commit, now back open. The tea leaves, or if you read them, seem to be saying Illinois, but Friday's still 2 days away, and in recruiting, a lot can happen in 48 hours.
For some of these guys are waiting to, you know, they want to have a photo op and all those things and kind of have their moment in the sun when they turn their letter in. So some of them are just, hey, I'm going to get it in as soon as I can in the morning. Others are kind of waiting for a little bit of spotlight time, which is fine. You only get to do this once. And sign a national letter of intent while you're in high school. So hopefully MJ Rivers is in. If you're Lovie Smith, you probably wanted that in first thing. Probably wish you could sign the commitment months ago. But Lovie Smith's been a fan from the get-go of having this early signing period. I think it's good for football. I think it's good for the program right now to have a new sense of what's coming next, especially for a team like Illinois that is ready to look forward to next year and not dwell too much on what happened this year while you're watching a lot of your colleagues in the Big Ten head to bowl games.
Yeah, and the early signing period is maybe even more beneficial for a team like Illinois that is going through a rebuild, trying to get their guys. Because if they can sign them in December, that cuts you know, month and a half out of other teams trying to flip those recruits for the regular signing day in February. And so I should mention, as we're running through all those that have signed or are expected to sign, Curran Taylor, quarterback out of Peoria, not signing today, and got in touch with Tim Thornton, the coach there at Peoria, and there's no set plans right now for when that might happen.
Is there any idea what might be why the delay or the lack of commitment right now?
I mean, the commitment is firm. He is still all in on Illinois, just not going to sign today. And I've seen several reports. It's fairly vague, just had some things to work through. You can draw from that your own speculations that might be true, but I don't know, you know, facts 100%, so I'm not going to dump on a high school kid.
Today will not be a dump on a high school kid day. That's tomorrow on the program. No, I'm just kidding. If you want to weigh in on anything, you can on our Castle Heating and Cooling text line, 351-5357, and the phone is 356-9397. All right, we were talking a little bit this afternoon. You seem a little bit more optimistic. I watched the Missouri Stephen F. Austin game last night, and I'm just more convinced. I think Missouri is the superior team, and I'm not sure Illinois can keep it as close as they have been keeping it against other opponents. And we are talking about a Missouri team that is Michael Porter-less.
Yeah, and that certainly a big blow for the Tigers, but they have found a way to get 10 wins, already be 2 wins better than they were, you know, last year. And, yeah, they're good. And they're much better than they were a year ago at this time when bragging rights game had, well, let's just be honest and say zero hype,
interest,
negative
yeah.
hype maybe for that game. But I would put Missouri probably on par with a Maryland as far as talent goes.
Yeah.
Just overall talent.
Yeah, talent on the floor, yeah.
I mean, Illinois trailed by 22 against Maryland, but managed to make that a
And how far were we behind against New Mexico State? Was it down 15, right?
Yeah, so it's, I mean, they can't do that again. I think that would be, has proven to be killing blows to chances for wins. But, I mean, I guess I'm already on record 2 days ago as saying I'm picking Missouri, and that hasn't changed. I don't see this team getting blown out.
And maybe this last loss sparked something, but to me it feels like a little bit of the wind is out of the sails now because of all these losses. And at some point you run out of some emotional energy toward it. But I could be totally projecting. I have no idea what this week of practice has been like and what it's done, and be curious to hear Brad Underwood's thoughts tomorrow. But I'm just concerned that these losses add up mentally on a young team to take away a little bit of the edge.
I mean, I could see that, but I think Brett Underwood will have more than enough edge himself to maybe balance that out.
Well, we'll get the thoughts of Mike Kelly, play-by-play voice of the Missouri Tigers, when we come back. Those of you who've been around for a while listening to DWS will remember him from days gone by when he worked here, and he's an excellent broadcaster there for the Tigers. Also does some coverage of the Cardinals as well. So we'll hear from Mike Kelly when we come back later on in the program. Petra Holashinska from Illinois Women's Basketball. Scott and Scott with you here on Sports Talk.
It's Fighting Illini Women's Basketball at Missouri, 12 noon on Friday as the Illini take on the Tigers in Columbia. Dave Lone has the play-by-play from Missouri, Illinois Women's Basketball on DWS.
Yeah, both the women and the men get a go at the bragging rights game. Scott Beatty and Scott Ritchie here with you. And speaking of the bragging rights, Missouri Tigers play-by-play voice on the men's side is Mike Kelly. He joins us now. Mike, good to have you back on these airwaves that you once rode.
Yeah, well, thank you. It's it's always a pleasure to spend time on this radio station. It's a radio station that will always have a fond spot in my heart. Spent 4 wonderful years there working for a terrific man in Jim Turpin, who I know will host his last Penny for Your Thoughts coming up on Friday. So I wish him nothing but the best. Thank him from the bottom of my heart for the mentorship that he provided to me throughout the course of time, the opportunities he presented to me. There are a lot of things, a lot of things about Champaign that I will always love. First and foremost is that I met my wife there, and we're going to celebrate our 30th wedding anniversary coming up in August. And so Champaign will always mean a great deal to the Kellys.
Well, you're always welcome here whenever you come back. Want to talk about this bragging rights game, obviously, on Saturday night in just a moment. But last night, in an interesting confluence of things, Mizzou outlasts Stephen F. Austin 82-81. And, of course, Brad Underwood was there just 2 years ago. Now, I know they have a new coach and all that and somewhat of a new system. But to me, I saw some remnants of Brad Underwood in the way that team played in Stephen F. Austin last night. I mean, that's a heck of a basketball team.
Yeah, they're really good. And that's a team that I really believe finishes its season, probably wins the Southland Conference. They probably go into the NCAA tournament with a record of like 28-3, something like that. And it'll be a really, really difficult first-round matchup for somebody in the national tournament. Balanced scoring, veteran presence, guys down low that aren't going to overwhelm you with their height, but they're very crafty in the way that they can, you know, navigate around the basket, get shots up, got guys on the perimeter that can hit big shots. And from a defensive standpoint, that was the best defensive team that Missouri's played this year. They forced 21 turnovers, and Missouri was able to find a way to win. And I go back to Missouri's loss this year in Orlando in the championship game of the Advocare Invitational. Missouri had a 16-point lead against West Virginia, and, you know, turnovers plagued Missouri down the stretch. They ended up losing that game. But had they not been in that game against West Virginia, they probably don't win the game last night against Stephen F. Austin. So in my mind, that indicates, a level of progress that Konzo Martin's made with this team in a short amount of time.
Konzo did something after the game that I've never heard of. He went into Stephen F. Austin's locker room to encourage them and basically say, you guys are a really good team, and you have nothing to hang your head about in this loss. Have you ever heard of a coach doing that?
I think I've only seen it like one other time, and it's the first time he's ever done it in his career. I didn't realize it had taken place until this morning when I saw some of the accounts online, but a very, very classy move by Missouri's coach. And Kyle Keller, the head coach at Stephen F. Austin, is a terrific guy. I've known him for a long, long time. In fact, he was a part of the program at Oklahoma State when they had the tragic plane crash. Later that year, after the accident that took so many valuable members of the Oklahoma State family, I had a chance to do a couple of their games down the stretch and got to meet Kyle for the first time and spend some time with him, and then have, you know, followed his career, whether it be not only at Oklahoma State but on to Kansas and then to Texas A&M, and you know, now he's running his own program. And so proud of him and the opportunity that he's been able to get to become a head coach, but also the job that he's done in a short amount of time. I mean, that's, tough team, tough, hard-nosed team. So you see some Brad Underwood in the way that they play, but Kyle's done a really good job in terms of, teaching them from a defensive standpoint that just attack that comes at you each and every time. It's probably, from a defensive standpoint or from an offensive standpoint, a tougher team, harder to deal with mentally because of just the strain they put on you than it is physically, just because they're always attacking.
We're talking with Mike Kelly. He's the voice of the Mizzou Tigers, and looking ahead here to the Mizzou bragging rights game with Illinois on Saturday night.
Well, Mike, with that win against Stephen F. Austin, 10 wins for Missouri already, so from, you know, just a win perspective, already more successful, you know, than last season. What do you maybe, you know, account as, you know, being the biggest difference, you know, from last year to this season?
You know, Scott, one of the things, and it's interesting because in each of the last 3 years, and Brian Barnhart can attest to this, is that we would have conversations. He'd say, what do you think about Missouri? And I'd say they can't win 10 games in each of the last 3 years because they just didn't have, the overall talent level to be able to do so. They've matched that through the first 12 games of the season. What he's been able to do, first of all, from a teaching standpoint, he's really, I think, this team has become better fundamentally than they were in previous years. And just little things. I mean, you know, it may not look so based on 21 turnovers last night. But, you know, coming to a jump stop and making a fundamental pass instead of trying to jump up and make the pass. They don't do that nearly as often as they did in the previous three seasons. But, you know, the influx of talent. I mean, you finally have a presence down low that Missouri hasn't had in each of the last 3 years with a Jeremiah Tillman or a Jontay Porter. You know, a guy like Reed Nichols playing at a level that he hasn't played up, even though it's in limited moments. So, you know, they've done a really good job working with the bigs. The influx of young talent has helped. And guys that have been here and that have their battle scars, guys like Terrence Phillips and Kevin Purrier and Jordan Barnett, who went through just the miserable seasons that Missouri's had in the last couple of years, they've continued to work. And, you know, they've continued to allow their games to improve through work, you know, outside of the practice setting. And, you know, Jordan Barnett's probably playing the best that he's played at Missouri. And I'm not just talking about scoring the basketball, but just his overall game. And there's still more that he can do, whether it become an elite defender or become a better rebounder. You know, Kevin Purrier has struggled from an offensive standpoint in each of the last couple of games, but, you know, still is playing a number of minutes and getting boards. But I just think fundamentally they're better. I think defensively they're much better. And I think their attitude's much better. They believe in themselves and the overall structure of this team. And you watch them in practice and you watch them, you know, whether it be walkthroughs and just the attention to detail is so much better than it's been. Those are a few things I'd point to.
And yeah, Missouri's been able to do all of that with Michael Porter Jr. playing all of 2 minutes in that season opener, and he hasn't played since. Is that surprising at all to you that, you know, to lose a guy of that caliber, a lottery pick, and then still run off a 10-2 start to the season?
Well, I think that's probably one of the reasons why they lost at Utah. A couple of reasons. First of all, Utah was better. Number one, that was a difficult challenge early on for this team. And then the other thing, too, you still had the Michael Porter, situation kind of hanging over your head because you didn't know what was taking place in terms of would he be able to play, would he have surgery, what was the future. So that, I think maybe that had a little bit of an emotional draw on the team. So to be able to do that, because the level of enthusiasm that was created prior to this season surrounding basketball, let's face it, a large majority of that was centered around the decision of Michael Porter Jr. to return to Columbia, where he grew up, and to play basketball here. So, he's becoming more involved in terms of a presence, with the team after going through back surgery. Still don't know when or if he'll ever play this year, but to be able to do that and have an identity outside of Michael Porter Jr., I think it just speaks volumes for the job that Konzo Martin's done with this group.
Mike Kelly is the voice of the Mizzou Tigers, and Mike, you said the other magic name, Jeremiah Tillman, a few moments ago. All right, how is his season going in your mind? What is he doing really well? What does he need to improve on?
He's gotten better each and every game. And, you know, he's scoring the basketball. Last night he had, I think, 10 points. I think it was 5 of 6 from the field. But, you know, Jeremiah's biggest challenge is learning how to play at this level without fouling. And part of that is learning to play without his hands and learning to play with his chest and moving his feet. Not moving into the offensive player when they shoot the basketball. Don't try to fly. And he's getting better. I mean, you're just seeing him make strides. He has shown the ability to distribute the basketball, step out to the top of the key, catch it, and distribute it. His footwork down low is really good, and his quickness is really good. I mean, he had a play last night where he just basically outran the entire Stephen F. Austin team after a missed basket down the court and got a dunk in transition. So he can rim run, Again, I think every game is a learning experience for a young freshman. I think that continues throughout your freshman season and probably into your sophomore year. So, he's really good in the block, really good around the basket. And, can he continue to learn to play without fouling and adjust to how the game is called each and every time? And if he does that, then, he's got obviously a lot of potential.
What's the hype on the Columbia side of things for this bragging rights game? Illinois has struggled in the last several games. They've had several close losses. Obviously, Mizzou is having the upswing that they're having. I hear the venue's sold out. What are you hearing?
Well, people are excited. First of all, that the rivalry is back, that it's alive. I've said on the air and have said, you know, even on the Illini pregame show and the visits that I've had with Brian over the last couple of games, last couple of seasons, maybe it's time to end the rivalry based on the fact that, you know, the attendance was dwindling and was there apathy among the fan base. And I think what both fan bases demonstrated is when your teams aren't very good, they don't want to spend the money to go to the game. So, you know, congratulations to, you know, the folks at Illinois and to the folks in Missouri for energizing their fan bases by hiring good coaches on both sides that are going to recruit and return their programs to a level that I think both fan bases have an expectation that those programs should be at. And so, again, congratulations to the administrations and then to the job of the, you know, each coaching staff for what they've done. You know, this is a game that no player on the Missouri roster has ever been a part of a win in. And if the Missouri fans are honest with themselves, it's a series overall, if you look at the bragging rights, that has been totally dominated by Illinois. I can remember Norm Stewart telling me, well, we're going to go to St. Louis, and maybe Lou will let me win one. You know, Illinois has won the last four. And so, you know, that should encourage Missouri, just, you know, because you've got an opportunity to do something that no player in your roster has done. And so, you know, I think Missouri's excited about playing the game. I think they're excited about playing in the environment. You know, Missouri played earlier this year at the Sprint Center in Kansas City on a Sunday afternoon against Kansas in an exhibition game, and it was the largest crowd to ever watch a game. You know, inside the Sprint Center, standing room only crowd of more than 22,000 fans split down the middle between Mizzou fans and Kansas fans. And so I think that experience helps the Missouri players that will play in this game because it kind of gives them a feel of what the environment might be like. Won't be as many fans, but again, about 18,000. And so, I know they're excited about it. And I know for me personally, this will be, my 28th bragging rights game. You know, it's good to see again the rivalry alive and back, and that both fan bases are energized, and that both programs have done a very good job of helping to bring it back.
Well, before we let you go, Mike Kelly, we know that you also dabble in the Cardinals world of things, and just curious if you think the Cardinals will see Josh Donaldson or Manny Machado or neither in Cardinals uniforms.
You know, the one thing that I know about John Mozeliak and about Michael Gersh and about, you know, the baseball operations staff at the Cardinals is that, you know, they are not tone deaf, as illustrated by what they did during the winter meetings and going out and bringing in Marcelo Zuna. And they also understand, you know, not only the expectations of their fans, but, you know, they want to develop something that has long-term success. They are very non-emotional when it comes to the evaluation of and the acquisition of talent. So they will use their systems, the metrics that they put in place, all of the analytics, and try to put together a deal to continue to enhance this roster for 18. I know that work is continuing. Now, whether it's a Machado or a Donaldson, I think it all comes down to what do they have to give up in terms of talent and also in terms of years of control? And then also, do they have an opportunity with either one of those players to make it more than a rental situation? And so, you know, again, there's not a lot of emotion that comes into this. They're very, you know, completely analytical when it comes to building the roster and putting together deals like this. You know, maybe Tampa Bay, you know, becomes a partner. It just remains to be seen. But I know that they want to address, obviously, the closer's role. I know they feel like they need another bat in the lineup, preferably, I think, an infielder because of, you know, the depth that they've got right now in the outfield. You know, Fowler moves to right field next year. Pham moves to center. Ozuna plays in left. Grichuk comes off the bench if he's still a part of the roster at this point in time. So I think something will happen. I'm just not sure what. And, again, I think it'll come down to what is required, how many years of control do you give up along the way, and then what does that mean in terms of factoring in long-term success? And they'll look at all of those things and see if it's a match or not.
Mike Kelly, we appreciate your time with us. Have a great call on Saturday night. Great to see this series with new energy behind it. It's great to have you back on the airwaves as well.
All right, gentlemen, thank you, and Merry Christmas to you both. We'll see you.
Likewise. Mike Kelly from Mizzou Tiger Basketball. We come back with more. Scott and I have some more items for you, and also Petra Holashinska from Illinois Women's Basketball Sports Talk. It's Sports Talk. It's Wednesday. Scott Beatty, Scott Ritchie with you. Scott and Scott. Tomorrow we're at Scotty's Brew House at 2001 South Neal in Champaign, and our scheduled guest, Matt McCumber, former student manager and has spent many years, among others, working for Bruce Weber. He is back in town, so we look forward to talking with him tomorrow. Well, LeVar Ball, that is, can't go like more than 48 hours without making a headline. And the latest today is he has announced a new Junior Basketball Association that will allow top high school prospects to bypass college, go play for them, and then presumably make the leap into the NBA. They'll get paid up to $10,000 per month, as serving as an alternative to the current 8-month college pit stop for the one-and-done hopefuls.
I mean, I typically don't click on anything, any link that is related to LeVar Ball or any of the Balls. Did it say how he plans on funding this? Because I don't think... I don't think the shoe sales from the Big Baller brand are going to pay enough for however many teams at $10,000 a month for however many players.
I guess the concept is not terrible, but as you mentioned, you can already go to the G League.
Yeah, or like LeVar's own children.
Go to Lithuania.
Go play in Europe somewhere if you don't want to go to college. And that's a path that's been taken. You know, guys like Emmanuel Mudiay went from high school to China to the Denver Nuggets, and Terrence Ferguson went from high school to Australia to the Oklahoma City Thunder.
There's a model that kind of works the same way for hockey out there, but the players aren't paid in the USHL. They're all amateur status. So I don't know how it'll work ultimately, but hey, there's a lot of things that LeVar Ball does that we have no idea how they work. Anyway, back to more reasoned people, and we go to Illinois women's basketball, and a fun personality to talk to on Illinois women's basketball is guard Petra Holashinska, basically the sixth player off the bench for the Illini this year, great shooter, a great nose for the ball. She's from the Czech Republic, had a chance to catch up with her. Well, Petra, I'm guessing you speak more than one language, given that you're from the Czech Republic. But is it all right if we just do this in English? Because my Czech's a little rusty.
Yeah, that's totally fine.
What languages do you speak?
So I speak Czech, English, and a little bit Russian and German. I feel like I already forgot everything, though.
Did you learn those in school?
Yeah, I did.
How much do you get to use your Czech here? Obviously, there's not many that speak it around here.
Yeah, not really. I mean, I talk to my family like twice a week, and then I usually call my friends who play here too. So I use it a little bit, but not really much.
Well, you have several friends that play here in the States for college basketball. Is there a big basketball culture in your home country?
Yeah, I think it's one of the most popular sports, especially for women. So there are like some of my friends who play here.
When people ask you what's life like at the University of Illinois and in America from home, what do you tell them?
It's different, obviously. I mean, it's just like the school is so big, like it's even much bigger than my city, so that's kind of crazy, but I've got used to it, so it's fine now.
You grew up in a rural town then?
Yeah, I did, but then I moved to like the second largest city in the Czech Republic because I played basketball there, so I'm kind of used to both, but I'm kind of like, I like bigger cities though.
So when did you say, hey, I'm going to go play college basketball in the United States? And when did you decide it would be at the U of I?
Mm, I think it was after the World Championships, which was in like 2013, 14, I think. And so Coach Boland was there, so he kind of started recruiting me because I played against Jalen. And then I was just like, yeah, I probably want to come because it's kind of hard back home to play professional basketball and study like business or something like that. So I was just like, yeah, that could be a good option for me. So I started talking to some other schools, but this was my best option. Also because Jenna Smith played here, so I'm like, I'm good friends with her.
Oh, you know Jenna Smith?
Yeah, we played together. Oh. Yeah, it was, I was like, I don't know, 15, 16, since she played on my pro team, so we're good friends.
So you can play professionally at a young age in Europe?
Yeah, you do, but you can get paid. So I didn't have a contract, I just played there, and because if I did, I couldn't come here, so.
Well, Coach Boland recruited you. I'm sure you didn't expect him to be gone. How's the transition been for you to a new coach?
I mean, it was hard at the beginning because we didn't expect him to leave. But then, you have to get used to it. You know, it's how life goes. And, I mean, I think it's pretty good. Like, we've been playing really well, so I really like it.
How do you like your role as basically first off the bench, as I see it, at least for the guards? Sometimes you start, but usually you're that sixth one off the bench. How do you like that role?
I mean, I think it's good. I can just watch like the first few minutes of the game and like know what they're doing defensively and also offensively. So I think it's really good for me to just like watch the game for a while and then step in.
What do you see that you guys are doing really well right now, and what would you like to improve?
I think our defense has been really good. Especially like because we're trying to deny every pass, and so they can't swing the ball really easily. So I think our defense is really good. We just have to like kind of execute an offense because we've been trying to figure out like what's going to work for us and stuff like that. So I think we have to do better on offense.
The Missouri game is coming up and then Big Ten play. What are your thoughts going into all that?
Oh, obviously it's going to be tough. You know, Missouri is ranked, number 16th in the country, so I think that's going to be a tough game. Also, I feel like they're trying to do the bragging rights game for us too, so I think it's going to be interesting. And also, you know, we're starting with Maryland, who were last year number 3 in the country, so it's going to be tough, but, I mean, it will help us to get better.
We're talking with Petra Holashinska from Illinois Women's Basketball. Couple of questions for you now. First of all, Christmas holiday. I doubt you get a chance to go back home to the Czech Republic for that. What do you do?
I'm going to New York to spend Christmas with my friends from back home, so I'm excited for that.
Friends that are playing here?
Yeah, they're playing basketball. One of them plays for Fordham, and one of them plays for Iona.
Now, if you had any friends or family that came over here from Czech Republic, what would be a place that you would take them at the University of Illinois?
I would probably take them to Oishi. It's my favorite place to eat. And then we'll probably go to Chicago. My family came last year, so we went to an NHL game and just spent 2 days in Chicago, which it was really nice.
Now, I've been to Prague, the capital city, but if I came to, but I haven't seen any other place in the Czech Republic. If I came to your town, where would you want to take me?
I honestly don't know. I would just show you everything, probably. I just love being in my city, so yeah. That's probably it.
Any foods you miss from home?
Probably just like my mom's food, so she can cook for me. I don't have to do anything.
Thanks for spending some time with us. Merry Christmas.
Thank you. Merry Christmas to you, too.
We're back in a moment to wrap this up. Scott and Scott with you here on Sports Talk. No more new signees yet during this hour here for Illinois football. Calvin Avery is inked. 12 in today for Illinois football. A few more expected here tonight. The big trade of the day, Major League Baseball, sees Evan Longoria depart from the Tampa Bay Rays. He's out to the San Francisco Giants. They give up Denard Span, their center fielder, and 3 prospects as well to complete that. There was some speculation that Longoria was in a possible candidate to end up with the Cardinals, but Manny sweepstakes continues.
Yeah, or Josh Donaldson.
Either one would be, a good fit. Illinois softball's announced their schedule. 55 games for 2018. Home opener March 13th against IUPUI. They start the season, though, on February 9th at a tournament in Winter Springs, Florida. Scott Ritchie looked at the top 25 schedule tonight. Not very interesting.
It really isn't. But not every night can be great, but...
This is sort of the lull of college basketball.
Yeah, check out Tennessee Furman. That's the game I've decided I need to watch tonight. So it's got my stamp of approval. So fingers crossed for not a blowout.
Probably better than West Virginia Coppin State, which is 0-11. All right, we'll be back tomorrow. We'll be live at Scotty's Brewhouse on Neal Street in Champaign. Thanks to Mike Kelly, Petra Holashinska, Evan Konzer, producer-engineer. Scott Ritchie, thank you very much. CBS World News Roundup is next. News Talk 1400, WDWS, Champaign, Urbana.